AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. We are going toward Clipper basketball. Adam Oslin producing the show today. We'll stick around for pregame tip-off against the Bulls at 7:30. If you missed our first hour conversation with Nathan Fenno, investigative reporter over at the LA Times, that is coming in just a moment. He has been all over, well, the three biggest stories in town the last couple of weeks around these parts. The cheating admissions scandal, the horses that are perishing at an alarming rate, and one owner calling another owner in town
balls
in a series of emails.
Balls.
It's bad. That could leave Staples Center vacant.
Sweet news. And you know what else? We have a huge remote next week, Matt.
That's right, P. El Torito. It is coming up on Tuesday back in our old familiar stomping grounds of Orange, California, right off the 22 at the City Drive exit. We will be there from 3 until 6:30, and we do have coming into focus a little bit more when it comes to the prizes that will be available for those
What'd you hear about?
Who will participate.
If all I got here is tacos, margaritas, other food and drink specials. That's a special. That's not a prize.
So there's that.
And it just says it starts at 3 every day at El Torito. That doesn't mean they're even doing it because of us.
Well, how about 4 tickets for opening day? Dodgers opening day. We will have a grand prize of 4 tickets to give away at El Torito. And then 100 tickets to upcoming Dodger games will be given away as well.
That is a horse of a different color.
A full 100 tickets to be given away and 4 for opening day as a grand prize. What the hell are you doing? Come see us in Orange.
Worthy of some Latino fanfare here. Can't wait to see you at El Torito in the city of Orange. And you know what, Matt? I heard that's not all. I heard we're hitting the road like some road warriors even before the Chevy Summer Tour. Pretty exciting stuff for us, huh?
Things are developing. It is a fluid situation.
Dodgers need more training. So they're going to have another spring training game just like today. The next one.
Tonight.
Is on Sunday on AM 570. 1 o'clock versus the Brewers, that team that they saw in the playoffs. And the Clippers take on the Bulls tonight. Fully functional employee Adam loves the Clippers so much. Some might say.
How much?
Some might say to distraction.
It's led to his single bachelor style ways. That he cannot have another lover because the Clippers are in his life.
It's not even the. I figured out what it is about the outfits too. Like the workout gear is offensive. There's no doubt, but it's that jacket. It's that jacket. The half rain, half fleece thing you got.
It's everything. I mean, let's be.
But
honest.
That jacket makes it.
The
especially.
Jacket's bad.
Well, I don't like how the hair comes out under the hat. That's
the,
bad.
The slouch is bad. He's a slob. Have some self-respect. Sit up already. My God.
And a batitude.
Batitude is right.
But anyway, he'll be there.
Yeah, he'll. It's going to all change when he gets his own pregame.
You're right.
Because now it's high energy, puts on a suit.
Spiky-haired Adam.
Oh, yeah. Put some gel in his hair.
LeBron's playoff mode never really got, you know, like the when you try to turn on the warp speed on the Millennium Falcon. It's like, you know, it didn't do. But if you want to see playoff mode, listen to this guy talk on this show and then listen to him to talk.
In about 25 minutes.
And he's going to be geeked.
Much more activated then.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
It's time for the final hour fun fact. We'll see you on Tuesday, City of Orange, 3 o'clock, El Torito.
Fun fact, it's the hour 3.
Fun facts.
fun fact.
Well, as those that are currently observing Lent, today is a day they refrain from consuming meat. So I guess here is a
Friday,
Lent,
yeah.
A Lent style.
I heard
fun fact.
Somebody was trying to throw out one of your old fun facts the other day, and I was like, psh, that's old ass. That's an old fun fact.
That's old
ass. You know, about the old fillet of fish and why it started and the whole deal. And we've been on that for years.
Listen, you listen to this show, you learn. You get positivity from start until finish.
That's right.
We embrace fellow reporters in our greater Los Angeles community and try to lift them up.
That's right.
With our own praise heaped upon them.
Nathan Fenno.
Coming up in 1 minute.
Joining us in a moment. He's got all the news about the horse, fatal injuries to the horses, euthanasia track.
Did you know? You will hear about this likely somewhere down the road, unlike National Pizza Day, but here we're bringing it to you on a Friday because a lot of family's going to be eating pizza tonight. A lot of cheese pizza, a lot of veggie pizza.
You said
going
it was
around.
Invented by those Egyptians yesterday.
The pie. Invented well, by, not at a pizza pie.
I mean, what's the difference, really?
Well, pie was, you know, if sweets in the middle of a crust that surrounds it.
Hey,
kind of thing.
There's a lot of sweet pizzas out there. You having a Nutella pizza?
No, I have not had a Nutella pizza.
They have them in Italy.
They do?
Yeah. And well, they serve them one. At the Locale 90s.
Not had a Nutella pizza.
Very popular.
According to a February 2014 study of over 17,500 individuals, it was determined that 13% of the U.S. population consumes pizza on any given day. Today, 13%. Tomorrow, 13%. Sunday, you ready for this? 13% going to be consuming pizza.
It is the RAV4 of foods. Just pull the trigger. We need something. Order.
Let's get the pizza.
Order a pizza. Fully functional employee Adam, or barely engaged employee Adam, does recognize the Nutella pizza as a thing.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
This should be good.
I really don't. What the hell are you talking
hey,
about?
Hey, man, it's delicious. You got, hey, I'm going to bring one in.
Done.
But it's not good unless it's hot. You got to get it hot, you know? It's
like, well, get one of them foil like delivery guy things and bring it in.
Really? This thing cost me $500.
Bring that thing in, man.
Eat that pizza, damn it. All right, let's talk to Nate. Well, here he is, Matt. We've been hounding him all week like the hounds of the Baskervilles, and he joins us. Thank goodness the literary reference, because this is a man of letters. A man whose growls are heard globally, because the stories are global. Stories about Jeannie Buss and Inglewood. Stories about USC entitlement and the athletic department and fake water polo players. And stories about horse death at Santa Anita. He's got it all! And he is the strongest of the writers at the LA Times when it comes to investigative reporting. Nobody does a better job. He is Nathan Fenno, friend of the show, on the PMS Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. What's cracking, Nathan? How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just coming up for air after quite a crazy week in LA.
Yeah, I guess. Well, let's start with the SC stuff, since that was kind of first in a certain kind of way. This story is another layer on a bunch of stories about USC, many of which were broken by your newspaper. Just talk about your involvement with it, and if you think it's going deeper. So many people thought the FBI thing was going deeper with college basketball, and it kind of has, and it kind of hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a situation where I think 50 people were charged, indicted, whatever, in the first round of this thing. So already it's a much wider-ranging situation than the college basketball investigation ever was or will be. I think it would be surprising, given how broad it is, that if it doesn't expand, if it doesn't get bigger, if it doesn't pull in more folks. It very well could be the tip of an iceberg.
Where do you think you would focus? Is it on the institution? Is it on the athletic department? Is it on these parents? Is it this guy Singer? Like, where would you start with all of this? And where do you think the feds are kind of taking their next step with all of it?
You know, I guess first with the feds, you know, whoever knows what they're up to, this will be on my pay grade. But you have to imagine that they would be trying to get some of these folks who've been indicted to flip right now and rat out other people. You know, it's a good technique if you're facing some of these very, very serious felony charges to, you know, you might be a little more amiable to cooperate in that kind of situation. From my perspective, though, I've myself and my great colleagues in the LA Times Sports Department have obviously focused on the athletics end of this, particularly as it relates to USC and a little bit over at UCLA. And I'm fascinated by the allegation that this very senior figure in the USC athletic department allegedly got $1.3 million in bribes, according to court documents, and helped to direct more than two dozen fake athletes into the school. Those things to me are staggering. That's astonishing, if it's even close to true.
I think what a lot of people, and I'm not saying just defenders of USC, but a lot of people around college athletics say, if you sniff around any school, you're going to find some of this. Athletes being, you know, kind of worked into a university, even though maybe educationally and academically they don't deserve to be there. How often, because you seem to be someone who I would assume gets a ton of tips or leads, do you hear about that from schools? How prevalent maybe are these storylines surrounding schools and who they allow to attend their universities?
Well, you know, one of the fascinating things about this case is I think it's brought up this idea that at a lot of schools, the admission standards for athletes are lower. There's a reason why it's called, why this recent scandal saw a side door, if you will, by admitting kids as fake athletes, because, yeah, the standards are a little lower. And there's probably like a societal conversation to be had as to whether that's a good thing or a necessary thing or something that should even
place. You're saying I shouldn't have gone to college, Fenno, just because I was stupid?
That's what I'm hearing.
I couldn't go run the rock in the Pac-10?
You know, I would never say that, Petro.
Fair enough.
I assume you had the 4.0 and the
No.
You had the test scores.
No. But it is an easier route to go through the athletic department. But these people were not athletes.
They were certainly not athletes. And anybody who's read any of our fine coverage in the LA Times or the other outlets who've been involved in this will have seen that, you know, fake athletic profiles were created. You know, parents photoshopped pictures of the kids playing sports, made up athletic resumes. It was really, you know, had people take SATs or ACTs for them. The level that these folks allegedly went to is pretty crazy.
Nathan Fenno is our guest, the great writer from the LA Times. Controversies abound. Shall we get into Inglewood, Matt, or do you have anything left on student academic admissions fraud?
I guess we should be fair and balanced. Do you suspect anything else coming out of UCLA save a soccer coach that was pocketing cash?
I think it's too early to tell. You know, if you'd asked me at the beginning of this week if I expected the FBI to swoop in at USC again, I'd say you're probably crazy. But, you know, here we are. You know, at this point in time, and this is not through any inside information or anything like that, with what we've seen this week, how can you rule anything out going forward?
Is there a good guy or a bad guy in this? You know, it looks like Mayor Butts may have led MSG astray in allowing, you know, in suggesting they just let go of that land that they owned. And it looks like, you know, Jeannie was maybe trying to get out of AEG's clutches and over to MSG. Like, I don't know. It just seems like everything's kind of shady in this thing.
Yeah, I find the whole situation in the Inglewood absolutely fascinating. You have the stadium for the Rams and Chargers, the Stan Kroenke's building that's going up there worth, you know, he's pouring billions of dollars into it. You have the Forum on one side of it. You have the spot where Steve Ballmer wants to build a new arena for the Clippers down the street. There's a lot going on there, a lot of big personalities, a lot of money, a lot of really, really interesting drama. Fun stuff to write about.
Yeah, do you think that goes deeper? Do you think Inglewood's going to have everything and Staples Center's going to have like roller derby or going to be like a Korean church like the Olympic Gardens or anything? I mean, what's the future there, Fenn?
You know, I don't think anything that extreme would happen, but who knows? You know, the story I had reported off some internal emails between Jeannie Buss and an associate of Madison Square Garden, which owns the Forum, and Linda Ramos, who's a top Lakers advisor. You know, they discussed potentially going to the Lakers, going to the Forum, but nothing came of those discussions. And
so it was really just to stop the Clippers from doing it. I mean, what? That's why New York is involved. Can you explain for people like me and our dumber listeners?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of lawyers involved, which is probably the most obvious thing to say about all of this. But basically, Madison Square Garden, which owns the Forum, is upset that the Clippers want to build an arena in Inglewood. They are upset for a variety of reasons, but mainly they don't want a competitor a mile away from their venue that would, theoretically be competing for concerts and, I don't know, tractor pulls, conventions, whatever, with them. There's a lot of, again, a lot of lawyers involved, a lot of animosity between involved in this litigation right now. And as part of that, a lot of these emails have been produced during the discovery phase, and people like me get their hands on them.
Are we to take that Linda Rambis is in a decision-making capacity with the Lakers based on this being a huge deal and her being part of this? Or do you think this is more of a, I don't know, personal relationship with Azoff that got her on this thread?
You know, I can't speak to that, but I found it very interesting, as I know you guys did, that the three people on this email thread are Irving Azoff, who's obviously a big player in town and around the country, and Jeannie Buss, who everybody knows, and Linda Rambis. I think it speaks for itself.
Nathan Fenno is with us, delving into a number of topics that are racking the brains of many folks around town away from
I'll
the plane surfaces.
I'll do it, Matt, since you're scared. Matt's scared of the
can
ghosts.
Can we just do one? Can we do
He's
one
scared
more?
Of the ghost riders in the sky that they're going to come haunt him at night. He's scared of the horse
yet.
Death.
I don't want to get there yet.
What do you want to talk about? You want to talk more about Jeannie with the big weenie?
I want to try to force him to speculate. He's an investigative reporter, but I'm trying my damnedest to get some speculation out of him. Do you know or have you heard about any acrimony between Ballmer and Buss and
you
those
mean
two
balls?
Organizations. Oh, Balls with a Z, and
yeah,
and Buss
in
that relationship.
I think to explain that the Balls reference to all the all the folks who might not have an LA Times subscription.
Get one.
Get one. But Balls B A L L Z is the nickname used by the participants in this email string for Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. Now he's worth. What, $42 billion?
Just that, that's all.
He probably doesn't care much about that kind of thing, but that was an interesting look into kind of an unvarnished look into how the one owner of one of our fair cities NBA teams talks about the other owner of our city's NBA teams.
Calls them Balls with a
yep.
Z. And
maybe it's Ball Z.
You know who wouldn't like no.
No.
Jimmy like Jimmy Z.
Right.
you know who would not want to be called anything derogatory and isn't worth billions of dollars is that James Dolan. So just because you're worth a lot of money doesn't mean you ain't sensitive, Fenno. You should know.
Yep, yep. And those New York tabloids have certainly had had their go at Jim Dolan. That is for sure.
JD in the straight shot. All right, now, Matt. Now
you get there.
Can we open the fences? And away they go. All right, Fenno, you went over to Santa Anita yesterday and did some sniffing around. It almost seems like this is like a nighttime caper for Scooby and Shaggy. It can't be because there's horses that have died and people that upsets people a great deal. The hell is going on at Santa Anita? How can they not get to the bottom of this? These people have been racing horses for hundreds of years.
You know, it's baffling. It's absolutely baffling. And I was actually filling in for our great horse racing writer John Cherva yesterday, and just helping out a little bit and poking around a little bit. And for those who haven't been following this saga too carefully, the 22nd horse died at Santa Anita yesterday after completing a training run. 22nd horse since December 26th of last year. And the track has seemed to try everything, looking at the surface, talking about the weather. And then yesterday, after this death, they decided to ban all race day medication and really restrict the use of whips as well. And maybe that'll help. Maybe it won't. But it's pretty startling that after this many deaths, there still isn't a clear answer as to what's happening.
Are these numbers just a little bit more than normal? Like, does this happen a lot more than we'd like to know about, I guess, would be the question?
You know, I got into this a little bit in the story today, but it's really hard to say, particularly nationally, how many horses are dying. The best statistics we have are for how many horses are dying as a result of a race. But obviously, we know horses just aren't racing. They're training a lot, and they're trained pretty hard in some cases. And those numbers, at least nationally, aren't collected and distributed. In terms of Santa Anita, this is very, very unusual. and alarming, it seems, to anybody remotely connected with the operation over there.
Level, and I don't know how you would measure this or if you would know, but just kind of, I guess it's insensitive to even ask, but just maybe level of outrage and demand for accountability that you felt surrounding this story.
Well, I think this is the sort of situation where people who might not ordinarily follow horse racing will, this grabs their attention. I mean, you see 22 dead horses, and even if you've never watched a race or never gone over to Santa Anita, that grabs you. And, I think, nobody wants horses to die, whether you watch races or don't. And, so I think it has certainly generated some outrage in corners who don't normally weigh in on horse racing. And this afternoon, I think we'll have a story up on the website, if not now, in a little bit. But the L.A. County District Attorney's Office has dispatched a number of investigators to investigate what's been going on over there. So it's an interesting situation.
The great Nathan Fenno, our guest on the Petros and Money Show right here on AM570 LA Sports. A lot of stuff covered right there from a fine LA Times reporter from a fine sports section. Thank you, Nathan, and have a wonderful day. Good luck with everything.
You too, fellas. Take care.
And that's that. A big thank you to Nathan Fenno, Don McClain, Mr. Papadakis. Coming up next, Adam Oslin is finally going to get some pep in his step as Clippers pregame heading into Clips v. Bulls is next.